Chapter 10, Starting the Conversation. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29. Everyone benefits from the story.
As you may have noticed, I speak rather openly about my loss of 2 children to abortion and the abortion issue. I realize this is quite unusual. Whenever someone asks me what I do for a living, I'm always a little afraid that I'm about to ruin their day. I say I've started a nonprofit called Hope and Grace Global. They usually want to know more, so I tell them we help create a culture in the church of hope and grace for those who have lost children to abortion. So far, I haven't had anyone react with disgust or anger, and they usually start asking questions. I've come to expect a shocked pause as they consider what I've just said. We do not normally hear the words abortion and grace in the same sentence in a church setting. We rarely hear the word abortion in any context. Even those who consider themselves liberal and very much pro-choice have expressed gratitude for what I'm doing. I think some of them may assume that I'm pro-choice myself at first because I'm not spewing condemnation. I am pro-choice in the true sense of the word, as I believe there are hope-filled alternative choices to abortion. Those who consider themselves conservative and very much pro-life are often a bit taken aback, trying to figure out if I'm pro-life or pro-choice, because the pro-life movement is best known for caring much more about the baby than the living victims who have lost children to abortion. I think my response is initially more acceptable to the more liberal-minded people who tend to care about the downtrodden and outcast generally more than conservatives. Regardless of their political stance, they are usually intrigued and ask more questions. When I start talking about the recent scientific studies that have shown the damage abortion causes and the need for healing, ears perk up even more. If I stopped with the part about the damage it causes, I would immediately raise hackles in the pro-choice-minded listeners. So it's important that I include that I want to help people find healing. Some who have lost children to abortion or who strongly defend abortion rights are offended by the science behind the destructive effects of abortion because they haven't yet seen the issue beyond politics and rights. But as I speak about it with love for them, it gives them an opportunity to see the issues of the heart. If they are still interested, I go on to tell them that my main objective is to educate and equip pastors in the church to address abortion in a way that is factual and compassionate because the church rarely addresses it in any manner. To this statement, I get total agreement 100% of the time. Then I tell them I went through 2 abortions in my late teens, and therefore I can speak to this subject. If they had any objections to what I'm doing, the fact that I have personally experienced this negates any perceived threat that I'm here to judge anyone for their abortion experience. As the conversation continues, then their stories often begin. They might tell me about a friend who had an abortion, or they feel safe to tell me about their own. Occasionally, someone says something like, "Well, I had an abortion and it never caused me any problems," or, "It was the best choice I could have made at the time," or, "I have no regrets." However, I'm not too surprised when they go on a drinking binge or some other destructive behavior for an indeterminate period of time. I triggered something deep down in their hearts just by talking about what I do. I need to get better at having a business card or an abortion trauma peer counselor they can talk to confidentially if they find themselves struggling at a later time. Sometimes my husband and I are sitting in a restaurant having a personal conversation about my work. Someone nearby will interrupt and say something like, "I've never heard anyone talk about this subject this way. I'm glad to hear about what you're doing. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to eavesdrop." Many times when I've gone on to share about my own loss of children to abortion, others respond by spilling out their own story. And often they tell me they've never told anyone before. They didn't intend to tell me, but I was the first person they ever felt safe to tell. So they tell. Part of them is grateful they finally got it out. Another part of them is terrified because now someone knows. Their secret is out. But this approach has gotten me many appreciative responses and nothing negative so far. I'm sure that will come eventually. The reason negativity toward what I'm doing will come is because if we admit that abortion hurts women and men, then we must admit that it is not the safe legal right our culture has touted it to be. Despite over 600 worldwide studies showing the damage abortion causes, many would prefer to believe that it causes less harm than giving birth, physically and emotionally. Admitting that abortion comes with a cost, personally, as well as to all humanity, is tantamount to treason in the pro-choice community. If proponents of abortion ever admit the destruction it causes, imagine the lawsuits that would follow. They must maintain their stance at all costs that abortion does not increase the risk of mental health problems. For this reason, talking about the proven damage that it causes and telling my story will result in efforts to discredit me. All the more reason to tell it, to give other women and men a boost of courage to end the silence for the good of all humanity, especially the church.